Welcome to my commentary on 2 Thessalonians. This section, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. A brief introduction. If you want more of an introduction, you can go to my website or go to my audio commentary on 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonica was the capital of the province of Macedonia. That's the Roman province. Paul had visited this city for about 3 weeks before he was run out of town, but he did win some people to the Lord. And as a result of him leaving so quickly, he had a great burden for these people, especially now since some people had tried to tell the new believers that Jesus had already returned to earth and they missed him. Now, this would be very disturbing to both the believers and to Paul. So really, the main theme of both of these letters to the Thessalonians by Paul is concerning the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will get to that subject in chapter 2. But we begin here in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Silas and Timothy were two of the co-workers with Paul. Sometimes he actually had a number of co-workers with him. Silas's other name was Silvanus. You might see that in the book of Acts, especially, I believe, in the King James Version. Paul goes on, to the church of the Thessalonians. Church is from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia simply means a gathering of people taken out of the general public for a specific purpose. When it comes to Christians, church means those people who Jesus has called out of the world for a specific purpose, which is to do his will. As I've said before, I'm not really excited about the word church, especially as it's now being translated in the New Testament, because church in the 21st century no longer resembles what church meant to Paul as he wrote these words. So I would say this, you could substitute the word church for the community of those people who have handed their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just read it that way. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to those people in Thessalonica who have handed their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always links God the Father with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians serve not a generic God, but we serve the God who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who tells you he is a Christian, believes in God, but does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Son, is not a Christian. He believes in a different God. Verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he puts the two together, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Both of these words have a dual meaning in the Bible. Grace, the most well-known definition, is God's unmerited favor. But there is another definition that is often overlooked, and that is God's divine ability given to us to do his will. That is also called the grace of God. Grace is more than unmerited favor. You will see certain verses in the New Testament that unmerited favor doesn't fit the definition of grace in that particular verse. There's two types of peace when it comes to God. There's peace with God, meaning we are no longer his enemy because we have received his salvation. And two, we have peace in God, meaning We have peace in our hearts because of the Holy Spirit residing in us. Verse 3, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Now, we noticed in his first letter to these people, he said, we really want your faith and love to grow. Not that you don't have faith and love, but we want it to grow even more. And now he's acknowledging that there has been growth in these new believers when it comes to their faith, meaning their trust in Jesus. They have handed their lives over to Jesus, and they're growing in that trusting relationship. And the love for the brothers that is a result of this trust is more evident than ever. That's what he's saying here. Verse 4, therefore, among God's churches, or among God's community of believers, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. And if you read 2 Corinthians, you will see how Paul does boast about these believers. He boasts about all of the believers in the province of Macedonia, which Thessalonica is one of those cities in that province. The main boast he has about these people is their giving, especially giving of money. Paul says that they gave beyond their ability to give. He calls it the grace of giving in 2 Corinthians. That's either chapter 8 or chapter 12. And that is one verse that unmerited favor isn't the definition of grace. Because when Paul says, you guys have the grace of giving, that's not the unmerited faith of giving. That is the divine ability that they have received from God to give beyond measure, beyond their ability to give. Paul was using these people as an example to the Corinthians so that they too would give. And the specific thing Paul was asking these people to give to was the collection of money that he was delivering to the saints in Jerusalem, who were mostly Jews, who were very poor at the time. This was supposed to be a generous gift offering from Gentile believers to the Jewish believers in Jerusalem that would hopefully narrow the gap between the Christian Gentiles and the Christian Jews. Now look at Paul here. He says he boasts about their perseverance. He just didn't boast about their ability to give, but even when they gave beyond their ability, it was during a time when they were being severely persecuted, not only by the Jews, but also by the Romans. And Paul is very proud of these people for enduring this kind of persecution that the Western world has not seen. But as our society becomes more anti-Christ in nature, Christians in the West will experience persecution, just like Christians are experiencing persecution in other parts of the world today. We will continue on to verse 5 in the next section.